There are two other families that I would like to ask that you keep in your prayers. One of those is the Costins, Angelina and Andre. They're going to be leaving at the end of June. Andre has been accepted into the Memphis School of Preaching, a 2-year commitment there. We are attempting to raise his support at this particular time. We sent out about 50-something letters over the last week. It's probably going to take about 200 letters. If you know of congregations that you have contacts in, let us know that, and we will send letters to them and try to raise his support. It's a difficult task, and it's hard work. The congregation here, and I may be stepping out of my bounds, we have agreed to support Andre and Angelina in the amount of $1,000 a month, folks. That's a big pot that will be coming out of our budget here, and we're going to need the congregation to step up and give the way that we can give and the way that God has blessed us, and help him in that work. We're not going to be, from what I hear, not going to be dropping any works, so we're going to have to step it up just a little bit and give, and hopefully they'll have a good 2 years. Then we'll lose them again to Russia. That's where they're both from, and that's where he hopes to go and preach the gospel, and it is a commendable desire, folks, and it is a big sacrifice that they're going to be making, and we need to pray for them. Also, we have this note from the Henrys. Dear Oceanside, Dale and I, meaning Natalie, you can tell I didn't write this one, appreciate all your prayers and cards while Dale was away. As you know, this is our last Sunday here at Oceanside. This is not a goodbye, but a see you later. One day we will come back to visit. We ask that you continue to pray for our family, that we stay strong mentally and spiritually. Pray that we may find a good church in Bangor, Washington. Thank you again for all your love. The Henrys. It says, P.S., look out for my man. We're going to miss them. It's sad individuals come and go here at Oceanside. And Dale just got through with all of his training and all, and now they're heading up to Washington. So we'll keep them in our prayers and hope that everything goes well for them. Good to see you back. Sure is. Looks pretty good in that uniform, doesn't he? It's amazing what a uniform does for a man. That's what all the women say. Tomorrow, May 26, 2008, is what is commonly known as Memorial Day. In times gone by, it was referred to by another name. Most individuals, especially if you're a little bit older, referred to it as Decoration Day. It's not called that hardly anymore. For many individuals, this weekend is nothing more than the start of the summer season, isn't it? It's a long weekend. The winter is now past. The summer has arrived. And individuals pack up their campers, their trailers, their boats, and off they go for a wild weekend, don't they? A weekend of fun. A weekend of frolic. Summer is here, my friends. Memorial Day means more than that. And it means much more than that. Memorial Day was first proclaimed on May 5th, 1868. Now you need to make note of that date. The Civil War had just come to an end. The North and South had just ceased their fighting. And now it was decided that there needed to be a date set aside in order to honor, now listen to this, honor our fallen military. That's what the day really involves. A general by the name of John Logan made this proclamation on May 5th, 1868. The 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. There was no prescribed way to honor and to show appreciation for these individuals. Each community, each group of individuals, each family was free to do that as they saw fit. May 30th came, 1868. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of flowers were placed upon the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery. My friends, tomorrow commemorates the fallen soldiers of the United States of America. However, I think it appropriate, and most do, to honor not only those who are fallen — it's a little late, isn't it? — but to honor also all those who are serving or who have served in our military in days gone by. Is that not a biblical prescription? Romans chapter 13, verse 17. Render unto all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear unto whom fear, and honor unto whom honor. For the next few moments, we want to set aside some minutes of this sermon, and we want to honor our military men. Those who have served and died and gone on, those who have been slain in battle, and those who are serving. One of the first things I want to do is this: ask everyone in this audience who has or is serving in the military just to stand for a moment, folks. I think we'll be amazed. That's quite a few folks, isn't it? Folks, look at them good. Especially those not dressed up. The reason I say that is because we may forget that they've served, and we need to tell them how much we appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And young lady. We have a lot of ladies serving in our military now. Question that we want to ask this morning at the outset of this lesson is this: why? Why should you and I honor these particular individuals? What elements are there that enable us to show the honor to these people that they deserve? I have listed five things. And folks, these come from Victor Eskew himself. They didn't originate out of a lesson book or anywhere. These are the five things that I thank these individuals for. Number one, I thank them for their patriotism. Patriotism is not something that is appreciated in the United States of America hardly anymore. Not even many of our elected officials appreciate this country. My friends, the definition of patriotism is love and honor and devotion for country. I think most members of the United States of America have a love and appreciation and devotion for it, but many of our leaders no longer do. But you can bet this, our military men love and honor and have devoted themselves to this country. They love our government. They love our Constitution. They love our Commander-in-Chief. They love the laws of this land. They love the citizens who make this country run and operate. And they will lay down their lives, if need be, for this nation. My friends, that is patriotism. And for that, we give them honor. Secondly, we honor them for their preparation. These individuals have prepared themselves both mentally and physically, have they not? I would hate to think right now that I had to go to boot camp. I don't think I'd make it. 3 months, 4 months sometime of training that body physically. Not only training the body, but also training the mind to be able to endure the things that need to be endured physically. And there's also that mental training, is it not? Week after week after week of training in specialty areas in order to carry out and do the jobs that they need to do for this country. My friends, if the battle cry is ever sounded, if the alarm ever goes forth, these individuals are willing to step forth and do their job to protect who? To protect me. That's who they're protecting. Me. And I thank God that there are individuals who are willing to take time and prepare themselves for the day of battle. We need those kind of individuals. Thirdly, we honor these individuals today for their bravery. Have you ever really just stopped and thought, what does the word brave mean? Webster says that it literally means to endure with courage. I've never served in the military. I don't know what it's like to have to face the day of battle. I don't know what it's like to have to know that just over the next hill is the enemy. I don't know what it's like to wonder whether I'm going to make it through the night or not. But I enjoyed watching the movie Saving Private Ryan, especially the beginning of that movie. There those young soldiers are in those boats. They're heading toward the shore, and folks, they are shaking. Scared to death, many of them throwing up, knowing that just in a moment the front of those boats are going to open and they're going to storm the shores, and guess who's going to be there? The enemy is going to be standing there in full force, nothing being held back. And yet they proceed, and they do so with bravery. With unbelievable courage to see individuals hurt and wounded and dying, to be in the most horrible and nasty of circumstances. And yet, what do? They keep on. Why? Because they are brave, folks. That's why. It's not to say there's no fear, but they overcome fear with courage. Fourthly, I praise these men and these women for their endurance. The word endure means this: to be able to bear up, to be able to struggle against hardships and difficulties and frustrating times. Can you imagine being in a war for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years? To make it through one battle only to know what? I've got the next battle to go. To make it through that battle and to know, you know, I've got another battle that I've got to be in, and I've got another battle to be in, and I've got another war to win. Folks, those are hard times, aren't they? To suffer hunger and keep going, to suffer thirst and never stop, to suffer cold and heat, and there is no quitting, no yielding. I believe it was Lorraine. She sent out an email this last week. You want to know the temperature over in Iraq right now in the afternoons? About 120 degrees. Now folks, put on full gear and go out and do your duty in that kind of weather. And do it for the pay they make. I've never seen any of them rich, have you? Not one of them. The ability to endure, folks, it's unbelievable. And lastly, I praise them for their sacrifice. It is amazing what they are willing to lose. It is amazing what they are willing to give up in order to serve our nation. I mean, you can stop and you can try to sit back and you can try to imagine, can't you? They lose time. They lose personal success. They lose some ties and time with family. Folks, I've been amazed at that, you know. I commend the wives and I commend any of the husbands who are left behind. Because I tell you what, 5 or 6 months is a long time A year or 2 years is a long time. And it is a strain on a marriage relationship. And I find it commendable that Christian couples stay together and do not allow that time and that distance to separate them. And they come back and reunite as a family and are strong in the Lord. That is an unbelievable sacrifice, folks. I couldn't imagine having to walk away from my one-year-old, my two-year-old, and head back out for another 6 or 7 or 8 months before I ever get to come back and see them again. It's unbelievable. The loss of health, the loss of limbs, and yes, even the sacrifice of life itself has been given by many of these individuals who have served our country. Sacrifice to lose or to give up something. I honor you for the things you've given up for our country, folks. For me, as a citizen of this country. In that proclamation that I made mention of just a few moments ago, by General John Logan, he concluded it with these words: "If other eyes grow dull, other hands slack, and other hearts cold, in the solemn trust, ours shall keep it. As long as the light and warmth of life remain to us." What does he say? Oh yes, to others Memorial Day may not mean much. Some individuals may slack it, some may slight it, some may totally disregard it. It may grow cold in the hearts of men, but as long as there is the light of life within my veins, I will honor our soldiers and military men. My friends, I hope that you and I will not allow Memorial Day to pass into oblivion. And young people, listen to me. Some of us either will not serve or have not been privileged to have to serve our country. And we still need to keep this day alive. Brother Bill Horn, one of the elders here, has served in the military. And I've asked him to come at this time and to offer a special prayer on behalf of our military men.
Please bow. Father in heaven, as we take this time to honor our military men and women, we first want to take the time to honor you as a loving God and as a peaceful God, but also a God of wisdom. Since the beginning of time, you have honored and sanctioned strong military forces to conquer evil. We've been blessed to be citizens of this great nation, a nation that was established as the one nation under God. We know, Father, that many men lost their lives to make this nation free. And throughout generations, this country has had to rise up and conquer the evil forces that would take this freedom from us. The most shameful war that this country has been in as a divided country. They caused it. And once again, Father, it looks like this nation is divided through philosophical differences. Some who would have a strong military, some who would not have a military at all if it was their way. But we're thankful, Father, that this morning we have these young men and women that's with us, that wears the uniform, that makes the statement that they're ready to die for this country. And we pray, Father, that we never forget the generations that's gone on before us. Some mother, some father, brother, and wife. And now even wives are losing their husbands in battle to keep this nation free. We pray that we'll always first honor you as our God and honor this nation. And we're at a critical time in this nation where we're going to choose leaders that would lead this military. And we pray, Father, that we use all the wisdom and counsel to make sure that the right choice is made, so the men and women that have died would not have died in vain. We ask you to bless each one that's assembled here today. Continue blessing this country. And may we all be committed to serve God, country, and man, so that one day that we can leave this life knowing that we've done all that we can to make life good for those who remain after us. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For just a few more minutes, not very long, I want to do something spiritually as far as an application is concerned. I was not, as I said, privileged to serve in the military. I wasn't enlisted, and I didn't go and sign on. Part of that was due to my dad. He said, "Vic, don't do that. Just don't do that." And I listened to Dad. But you want to know what? If you and I are Christians, if we are children of the living God, guess what? We are in a military. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. Are we not? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." What I find amazing is whatever application can be made to our physical military can also be made to us as well. My friends, you and I must be patriots of our Lord and Commander, Jesus Christ. We must be patriots of His cause. In other words, we must have a love and devotion for the truth, for our Lord, and for the church for which He died. Amen. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me His prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." 1 Timothy 1 verse 8. You and I must be patriots of the Lord's cause. Secondly, you and I must be prepared, must we not? We may not prepare our physical bodies, but you and I constantly have to be preparing our spiritual man for battle. Paul said that we must put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. In order to do that, you and I are going to have to study, folks. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Notice also we said that our soldiers have to be brave. Well, we also have to be brave to confront this world. Just a moment ago, Bill prayed in his prayer that we are fighting philosophical differences in our country at this present time. My friends, it is a philosophical difference that is opposed and against Christianity. If you don't believe that, go study it just a little bit. You and I as Christians are going to have to stand in bold opposition against the enemy, even in the United States of America. I find it interesting that Paul prayed for the Ephesians to pray for him. He says that he wanted utterance to be made for me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Boldly. And that I may speak as I ought to speak, and that boldly. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. My friends, we cannot be afraid. We've got to prepare ourselves and step forth ready to endure with courage against the enemy. We said also that our soldiers have the ability to endure. As far as battle is concerned, sometimes a battle may last for a few hours. Sometimes battle may last for a few days or months, maybe even a few years. But eventually, it seems that warfare comes to an end. Folks, I'm talking about battling every day of our lives until we pass from this world. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Mark 13, verse 13. You and I are going to have to gear up and endure to the end and never stop.
Amen.
And lastly, we too are going to have to make sacrifices, my friends. We're going to have to make sacrifices. Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 14 and 15, or verses 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What'd you say, Paul? Paul said, I'm willing to give it all up, that I may win Christ. My friends, sometimes you and I are going to have to sacrifice it all to be faithful to our God. We honor our military on May 25th, the day before Memorial Day. My friends, I pray that some of you will use tomorrow, maybe a little bit more wisely than just a day for cooking out, at least offer up a prayer on behalf of our men and women in our military. You want to know what's greater than that? There's coming another commemoration day. And that's for the soldiers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who are loyal, those who are dedicated, those who are faithful, those who are obedient, those who are committed, those who endure to the end. You'll hear those words from our commanding officer, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And folks, he will then turn to the Father and confess you before his throne. Whosoever confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Isn't that a grand statement?
Amen.
To be standing there before the throne of God and to watch our Lord and Savior turn to his Father and say, "Father, this gentleman or this lady is acceptable in your sight." And have the approval of all things divine. Dear friend, the only way you can have that commendation from our commanding officer is to first enlist in the army. You cannot sit on the sidelines and reap the benefits of others as I have in the United States. It takes full participation. Do you need to do that this morning? The entrance terms are simple, are they not? If you believe he's the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess the sweet name of Jesus, and then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. Are there some who need to do that? Maybe you enlisted in the Lord's army a long time ago, but maybe you've gone AWOL and you need to come back and confess that sin before God Almighty. My friend, faithfulness, even to the point of death, Revelation 2:10, is the absolute for the soldier in the Lord's army. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?